Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, prepare to get fit-faced with fitness rock star Ali Spagnola. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
What's up? I love that.
Of course you love that song.
What's up, Black Hollywood Live fans? We are back again. As you know, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
And of course, we have to welcome our Sultana of Suds, our Baroness of Booze, Ali Spagnola. Where can they find you?
Hi, you can find me as Ali Spagnola on all of the things.
Nice. Oh, we got some great stories. And we're going to dive into, I think you're probably our first sort of fitness expert who's really made a niche in this sort of alcohol consumption area. I think you've created it.
Right? Yeah, it's a niche because no one's doing it but me.
Well, it's amazing. But we've got some great stories, and maybe you can give us some insight.
Sure.
The first story, I guess we do have to beware. Excessive alcohol use can lead to dementia, particularly early onset dementia. This was an interesting study that came out in The Lancet. They looked at 1 million adults in France, and they found that 16.5% of people that suffer from dementia, it was due to, or at least men, it was due to excessive alcohol use, and 4% of women, which actually represented double the amount in people that did not use alcohol.
Wait, due to or correlated with?
Well, I would. They surmised it was strongly correlated with alcohol use because they did actually they controlled for a few confounding variables. Okay. Those which were Parkinson's, Huntington's disease that also can lead to early onset dementia, so they excluded people that suffered from that. And these were people that were actually hospitalized for dementia. So it wasn't like a case of people were unsure and they were just kind of going out to the community to figure it out. So this was these were people that suffered from serious dementia. Thought it was interesting and just kind of wondering, when it comes to sort of alcohol consumption, where do we toe the line? Because in this study, they weren't able to figure out exactly what constituted excessive.
Yeah, the criteria for binge drinking, in my opinion, seems very low. It's actually surprising how easy it is to abuse alcohol, according to our government and the standards that they give.
Yeah, I think it doesn't seem like there's enough, I guess, with causation, enough study into the causation. We know a lot about correlation, but the causation of a lot of these things, because I've seen binge drinking go from 4 drinks in one sitting to, 20 drinks in one sitting. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a really wide disparity.
First off, the mustache. Nice.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
second, I think,
me?
Too.
Oh.
Very lovely. I think, too, it's just that adage that less is more. Like, you shouldn't be, no matter what it is, because, you know, they said butter was bad for you. And it's just, you want to have everything, like, one glass of wine is okay, but three
or
glasses.
Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say that, a couple of glasses a day is beneficial.
Right. Yeah. So, but, you know, a full bottle every day might not be a good thing. So it's just kind of, and then it also is dependent on your genetics and how your body takes it. Like, I know of people who are, binge drinkers or drink more than the average person on a daily basis, and they're living fine.
Well,
they're aging, and they're aging. You can't believe the fact that they're aging well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it really, that's also dependent too. I'm not saying that you should go and test this theory out.
Well, yeah, but you won't know till you're 65.
Right. So, but 90. I just feel like anything in excess is just not good. Like, why are you drinking every day?
And excess for me is different than you, right? Mm-hmm. They say 6 drinks in one sitting, that's binge drinking, right?
Yeah.
But for you, that would be 6. Me, it would be 3.
And then and for me, the big question is, how long are we talking? Are we saying binge drinking for a month or 4 years when you're in college? Or are we saying 10 or 20 years?
Right.
But I think one thing we talked about earlier was Trump's diet that's been noted is largely full of McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But, 70-plus years, the guy is still...
He doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. Yeah. Exactly. And I often wondered if that's that one thing that when you add it to the rest of the stuff really exacerbates things.
Well, I mean, it depends. Again, he might be... obviously, on the physical side of it, you could see that the food's affecting him. But as far as the internal, that might still be going for another, 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So you just kind of never know. But again, I just think you have to deal with the mental issues, right? Mm. So Trump has already said the reason why he has McDonald's every day. Mm. So now obviously he's not going to go beyond that, but now you have to wonder, okay, well, why do you think people are trying to poison you? Like you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure he hasn't, yeah. I'm sure he's, you know, yes, yeah. that could be, but if you're thinking that, yeah. if you think reason people are trying to poison you because they don't like you, then why are, you know what I'm saying? That's yeah. like a whole rabbit hole that maybe that's self-improvement, something you want to look at. Yeah. And it's the same thing with drinking. Yeah. If you're drinking every day and to the point where you can't go without a drink, then it's no longer, and of course, if you're probably drinking, then it's, you probably might not be able to see that. But it's no longer about the alcohol itself. It's more about mental stability. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, why are you drinking every day? And why can you go without? Why can't you go without a drink every day?
Yeah.
So there's all of that. But, you know, we're in America.
I think
so.
We need the spinoff show, TK Fix My Life. She got the psychology.
I'm trying to help one person at a time.
Trump first.
Trump first. Yes.
Sit down on my couch.
America first, Trump.
I mean,
our next story actually is about hot baths and saunas, which actually cut your dementia risk. So if you are going to drink, you know what, maybe you should step in the sauna and maybe cut your risk, even it all out. But they also find it helps with pain and lowers the incidence of heart attack. They actually did several studies in Finland where they actually had the population to test mm-hmm. because it's a huge thing over there.
Right.
And they found that people actually got better in terms of their improvement from injuries as well as their endurance during their athletic activity, and it lowered their blood pressure as well. And more than that, they found that – well, not that they found, but they did want to warn that if you get a fresh injury, you do want to ice within the first mm-hmm. 48 hours. So while heat can help recovery, you want to wait after the first 48 hours. Do you do anything? I know you got some intense workouts and catching some of them. Do you do anything for recovery? Do you use heat? Do you employ it in any particular way?
I actually go the opposite direction, really? And I do cold after a workout. But I've heard recently about both, that 20 minutes in a sauna after a workout can very much increase the benefits you got from the workout.
Yeah.
But in general, this is like a biohacking kind of thing that people are saying now there are three parts to health, and our culture has only ever looked at two of them, mm-hmm. which is eating right, working out, and this third part is exposure to different temperatures. And now people are just starting to understand that. But yeah, ice baths and like getting super hot is something like I've certainly been experimenting with.
Funny enough, I do the same thing, but I'll do the sauna, but then I'll do the ice shower afterwards. So Tim Ferriss had this book called The 4-Hour Body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he had done ice baths, which raises testosterone, I forget X amount, but that was painful. So he started doing cold showers and also icing his neck and traps.
Mm-hmm.
And so before competitions, when I was competing, I would also ice, you know, for a few weeks going into them. And now I do the cold showers, and I found that my body feels better. I don't know if it's a placebo effect, but either way, it's working.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. The cold. Well, I've done ice baths, and I find like I can get into an ice bath. Obviously, the first minute is torture, but the cold shower is like the water hitting down at you. I just can't.
Oh, I lower it. So, but the way I do it is I do hot, and then I just slowly lower it over the course of the shower. So by the end of the shower, it's bone cold, but it makes it so much easier on my body.
I can't do that because I like it like abusively hot.
Me too, but try lowering a little bit at a time.
Or go all the way. If you go abusively hot and then just all the way cold.
Yeah, no, and then I'll be done.
Ooh.
Yeah, because the thing is, when you're doing the ice bath, you're like slowly getting in. And I think for me, mentally, it's like I'm talking myself into it. I'm giving myself
reasons. And your body's lowering its temperature a little bit.
I'm giving myself reasons why. But the ice, like with the shower, it's just like, no, trick. Like, you're here. Like, it's not. So I can't. I know people who do it, but I can't get into it. With the saunas, I don't mind the saunas too much, but it's the pools.
Hot
just
tubs.
The hot tubs are just germ traps. I can't can't do it.
Hanging out in a petri dish.
Yeah, I just and even the sauna sometimes, depending on where you go. Like, I mean, you have people. I don't mind the nudity, but when your cheech is sitting on the like, and then like you can't like, I don't do that for that particular reason. But now you have everybody else who doesn't think about that. So now their cheech is sitting on somebody else's cheech. Yeah. It's just.
Sanitary for you.
It's like too much. So if I had my own house, which hopefully I'd definitely go in that. And the Korean baths are really nice for that too. Like if you go to Wee in, I think West Hollywood or something like that, they have the different ones where you can go into. So I definitely agree with that. But I mean, you could talk to some professionals and they say, don't do the ice, do the heat, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So
I think there's a bliss point where you can find the right amount to get to work for your body, and so you kind of have to experiment, do a little body hacking.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Do you just jump in straight cold, or do you do a?
It'll generally be after workout, so I'm already super hot, and then I'll just shock myself with the cold. But that's a part of it because I feel like it's an antidepressant, and it's been like prescribed, you know, back in the day as one of those because. You'd be like, once you get your body to sort of deal with that, you get a high. I get out of the shower, I'm like, I feel superhuman.
Yeah. Have you done cryo?
I haven't.
Really? Cryo's awesome. Yeah.
With the gloves and everything?
Yeah. With the gloves. And you do feel like, you come out feeling almost like you're on a drug. But your body just wants to warm up.
Yeah. It's the same effect after you feel like coming out of the ice bath. You feel like, you know, I used to, like, I tore my hamstrings, and every time I came out, I felt like it was like brand new hamstrings.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with cryo. It's the same effect after you come out.
That's nice.
Is it really nice?
Yeah, it is very nice.
I think, too, what people don't do, I think it's just a timing thing given the society that we're in. It's like if you get some people are just happy to get the workout in, which is like that's kind of where I'm at. Like you have an hour and a half or an hour or 40 minutes to squeeze in this workout. You don't stretch. Like you don't do the ice bath. You don't do all this other stuff. And now you're like, you know, more susceptible to possible injuries.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, and people, when you read the magazines, nobody really, they might talk, you have might want like an article of some cute girl doing some, you know, stretches, but you don't really know the effects of it. And we might not be stretching enough.
Yeah.
So all that plays into a role. So maybe, you know, you might want to do a more intense workout for 30 minutes and then, you know, get the stretching and the sauna and everything else in. But
and funny enough, I've had people try to like say, how do I start? How do I get into the gym? How do I do this? And they'll say, what do I do my first couple of weeks? And I tell them, is there a sauna at your gym? And if there is, I go to the sauna for 30 minutes every day. Because it's the easiest. If that's the workout, people do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just getting them into the
routine.
The habit, and then now I go, after the 2 weeks, okay, now run a mile and then hit the sauna. Run a mile, then hit the sauna.
So
and then
you can all just of a sudden, hit them with a mile, not even like a walk. Right?
Oh, no. They can walk it on a treadmill or they can run it. But I just get them into the routine of like going to the gym every single day. Because what do they say, 21 days, then you form the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that can be something for people that are like, how do I get myself to the gym?
Just imagine going
to,
you're
going to the spa and have a good time.
Another
story that also related to heart and our heart health is women are actually at a greater mortality risk because a lot of their symptoms are overlooked when they go to get diagnosed. And it looks like more than half of doctors will misdiagnose women or not catch the fact that the symptoms they have are related to heart attack. Some of these symptoms include shortness of breath, cold sweat, nausea. But a lot of the symptoms that are more problematic are the ones about pain. So any pain above the waist could be an indication of heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a pain in your jaw.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so the primary areas. You're like, wait a minute.
I mean, these feel tight now. I don't
So the primary areas are your jaw, between your shoulder blades.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty unique. Your arms, your neck, and your upper back. So if you have pain in those areas, that could be an indication that something more is going on. And then, of course, any chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they say The chest pain can range from an elephant sitting on your chest to someone giving you a tight hug to feeling like your bra is too tight. So you have to be aware of all those things. And I think part of it is they were saying some women will describe their chest pain so lightly that the doctor doesn't understand that it's correlated to the heart attack. They might describe it as chest pressure or you know, so feeling something in the chest but not describe it as pain. So the doctors miss it a lot. So you have to end up being your own. Your best judge when it comes to what you're feeling.
Yeah.
With you, do you, because you're so fit and you're always working out, so you're kind of always in a state of achiness.
Mm-hmm.
When do you figure out, okay, this might be something more, or I need to take a break, or I need to get it looked at?
I have no idea now. This is on my brain. I mean, yeah, if I do like a day of cleaning jerks, is that a heart attack now? Because that's all traps and chest feeling, So, I don't know. Interesting.
I don't know. I think there's three options. One, if somebody doesn't work out, but somebody who doesn't work out tends to feel they're not without pain, if that makes sense. Like, they kind of adjust to, you know, they're always shortness of breath of walking upstairs and all this other stuff. Yeah. And then for somebody who does work out, like you were saying, you know, I don't know a day without pain.
Yeah.
Like, fortunately, my body's like, okay, your hamstrings are hurting, your back won't hurt today. Like, that's how my body...
it knows to, we're going to put it somewhere else.
I don't know why, but that's just how it goes. So I'm used to some type of pain one way or other. And then two, if you go to a male doctor, they might not... I'm not saying that, you know, they can't work with fit women, but the pain that they might associate, like you're telling them about, yeah. they can't really connect with it because they've never experienced it. Yeah. So that might be another thing too. So it's one of those things where, as hopefully somebody who is bitch, you kind of know your body well enough where you can kind of, oh, well, this pain is not the normal pain. But somebody who's fit generally might not go to the doctor because they think that they're fit and eventually whatever. So it's kind of putting women in general, if that's the case, that yeah. we're all going to
fall apart. And we have a higher tolerance for pain, too, yeah. right? Because of childbirth. yeah. So that probably explains why women are saying tightness and men are saying it's
yeah,
pain.
This is right. pain. Yeah. yeah. So I think the takeaway is you really have no. You have to be extra connected, and then also know that if you have a history of it in your family, that pain in your jaw might be something more. I would say if you have some of these symptoms and you're having them obviously on a regular basis, go to the doctor.
Right.
But if you have them and you also have a history, it's really important to go to the doctor at that point. And what a lot of doctors were overlooking was the history of these women.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't even inquiring further, regardless of the background.
Or even a history of something that's not your normal pain. Like when yeah. I had, I sprained something in the bottom of my foot. It wasn't yeah. the normal pain that I am used to having.
Yeah.
And then my foot started it was a whole kind of series of events that it's not the normal, like, oh, I'm sore, yeah. whatever. So that led me to go to the doctor and, you know, he was able to take care of it. Yeah. So it's just kind of knowing that, you know, I think your body gives you clues where it's just like, okay, this is what's happening, and then they kind of send you alerts, and they continue sending you alerts, and they'll, you know, if you don't pay attention, then it's just too late.
Yeah. So, and just important to pay attention to the body.
I feel like I just read WebMD, and
you're like, oh no, what's wrong with me? And another interesting story came out of the German Olympic Village in South Korea. So apparently, Kronbacher, a brewery, sent them 1,000 gallons of non-alcoholic beer. Mm-hmm. They've done very well in the Olympics this round. Several gold medals. I think they were at the top. I don't know. Did they finish with the most gold medals?
I think Norway did. Was it?
Yeah, or did Germany end up in that medal count? But they were up there.
Yeah.
But apparently, maybe it's working. So they will drink non-alcoholic beer. Most of them drink it throughout the training, the Olympic ski team as well. And there might be some potential science links to this. One is polyphenols. They say beer has got a lot of polyphenols, which are antioxidants and have anti-inflammatory components. We find it in green tea, dark chocolate. And so that might be why you're getting some performance gains out of these athletes. And then there's the carbohydrate component that you might get after a workout where your body needs carbs. Mm-hmm. Except non-alcoholic beer doesn't have as many as your normal beer. It's got way less than you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no sodium that you need to replenish afterwards. So, and there's no protein, of course, for your muscle synthesis. So,
I've also heard that carbonation helps you rehydrate faster.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I haven't heard that one. Mm-hmm. Why?
Right? I don't know, but that's a component of beer that I heard that makes it good for you.
Okay.
Yeah, after a workout.
But you miss the sodium.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so actually, I think beer and then non-alcoholic beer, the two profiles are so different.
Because mm-hmm.
With beer, you actually do get enough carbohydrates to kind of replenish you.
Yeah.
And it probably has a little bit more sodium. Will it have more sodium from the...
I think it's probably the same sodium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, non-alcoholic beer has kind of some alcohol in it. So I'm wondering is it like zero what they sent them at the yeah. Olympics? Or is it like 0.04 or whatever? If you have enough of them, you could maybe get a bus.
Germany is the leader in craft non-alcoholic beer.
Oh,
so
wow.
They have over 400 non-alcoholic beer, so it's a huge thing over there. It's like, so possibly they perfected the non-alcoholic
yeah.
beer.
Yeah, yeah.
So Norway is a total of 39 medal count, and Germany was second. Canada was third.
Nice.
What up, Canada?
So,
CrossFitters are known for that. Like, after they're finished yeah. with the workout, they down beer like it's nobody's business.
Are they doing non-alcoholic or alcoholic?
No, alcohol.
It's beer.
Yeah.
So,
just beer.
Like, they have a beer garden at the CrossFit Games that some athletes just go to, and they're competing.
So, and curling. They do that, too. It's actually tradition that the loser in curling buys a round for the winner.
See, I think that would work in the immediacy of the event. But if you're doing it as a long-term plan, because ethanol ruins your muscle synthesis of protein, so.
Mm. Not ruins. It's a scale.
Inhibits.
That's true. But I still think, well, that's the nature of Fitbit. You can still get it.
So do you have, What do you do? Do you have extra protein to compensate? Yeah, are you doing absolutely. A beer after
yeah.
workout?
Yeah, occasionally, and you know, probably more than I should be. But yeah, it fits into my macros, so you know, I just count it as carbs or fat even.
And so, how did you develop this love affair? I guess with alcohol, or I guess making it entertaining, because you came up with a power hour while you were in college?
Yeah, I have a live show that's like based on that drinking game.
Okay, that's amazing. So wait, explain how this happened, because I've read all this stuff. And when she came to the studio, I said, wait, is all this stuff I've read true? Because it almost sounded...
lying in my bio.
Well, I didn't know if it was sort of like you were... The personality was like, oh, I'm this crazy Danny person that, you know, like... Yeah.
Playing a character.
Yeah. So you started power hour. Originally, you wrote and created a 60-second... A 60-minute power hour.
Yeah.
So 60 songs a minute.
Yeah, the album is 60 songs. They're all one
all
minute.
Original songs.
And when
by
I perform
you.
It live, people then, like, drink along. It's like an interactive party.
Wow. And so by the end of it, are you the only one sober, or are you drinking along with people?
I'm not drinking performing. So, yeah, the whole crowd is just best friends by the end.
That's amazing. And I love this part, because I'm a lawyer, and you had some trademark issues now with this
as
well.
Yeah, all right. You would be interested in that. Someone claimed that they invented Power Hour, which isn't true. It's like saying, I own poker, and no one can play poker anymore.
Yeah.
And so he took me to court, and then, you know, I freed Power Hour, so now we can actually use the name and play the game.
That's amazing. Yeah. And having to deal with that, like, right after college, it's insane.
I know, yeah. It was a little stressful.
And then how did the fitness component come into it?
I mean, I've always been active, and it's just sort of been like every diet book I open, it says like the first point that everyone says is stop drinking. And I would like to be a living, breathing counter to that, to show that like you can still have a good time and like be pretty darn healthy and fit.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, because when I did a lot of training, I know people would say to me like, can I keep drinking? And that was actually a sticking point for some people, because they were like, it's part of my life.
Yeah.
And so I would always find out what they did drink and say, here's how to make it appropriate and timing-wise, when's the best time to do it. So it's possible to incorporate it.
Right, yeah, and you're not going to be competing at the Olympic level if you're drinking right. with alcohol in your beer, but like you can still live a pretty great life.
You could be curling, though. I think you could be curling.
You could definitely be curling. You could probably be curling and drunk at the same time.
And right now you have a show on Twitch called Fit Face.
Yes.
How did that come about?
I started putting the camera on. I mean, I was working out every day, and so I was like, hey, I might as well just hang out with people while I do it. So I've been training and chatting with people while it happens.
So where are you training at?
Phoenix Effect on Melrose.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Are you familiar? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This chick works there. Who's the coaches?
Beth and Kristen are the ones that live stream with me.
I think it's Kristen.
Yeah? Oh my god, that's
awesome.
I
know Derek.
I stream with them like 4 times a week.
Oh, what is her name? You continue.
That's fine.
Could find her.
Well, yeah, it's been pretty cool. They've been super helpful in like just helping me with my training and stuff, and I'm hoping other people get stuff out of it too.
Yeah, and so what I noticed first of all with your physique, super ripped. How are you, like, what is it you're doing?
You
what,
too.
Yeah. But
you're a vegan, right?
Yes.
You're a vegan beer.
Do you drink?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That doesn't sound very convincing.
And I will say some alcohol is not vegan, which surprised me.
Yeah.
And so I'm still trying to figure that part out, because like, I don't really have the wherewithal to always ask, like, is the wine vegan? Because that's really counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
Nicole C., do you know her?
I don't know. I haven't trained with her. She's one of the people that teaches there?
No, I think she just kind of works out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
But, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I've had to watch for. What was I saying?
Totally. You're talking about
off topic.
You were talking about how ripped I am.
No, that's what it was.
You're talking about Twitch and...
No. It was how ripped he was. I was like, wait a minute. I need to get the workout program. What's the workout program? What are you... Like, are you doing splits? Or like, what is it?
Oh, yeah. So I recently started doing bodybuilding, which I'd never touched before. I mean, before that, it was CrossFit.
Yeah.
And before that, I was doing kickboxing. I bike all the time. I used to be a competitive figure skater. I don't know. I just all around just like being active. So I don't have
been
one
South
thing.
Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right?
My God.
I mean, no. Once I hit 12 and I was not at the Olympics, I was like, all right, I got it. It's not going to happen.
Wait, so yeah, so what's the training look like day to day now?
Day to day, I've been doing what they train at Phoenix Effect. It's similar to CrossFit, except that it's more cross training. So it's like functional fitness, but with like a sports edge to it. Mm-hmm. So we train like football players and soccer players and things like that.
Okay, and what's your one move you can't do without then? Is it the clean and snatch you were mentioning that?
Oh yeah, I love snatching. Yeah, for sure.
It's very technical. I love the technical aspect, and then also if you get it right, the amount of weight that you could put over your head is gonna.
And it's super fun. It's like dance almost, where you have to put your body in the right place in space.
Yeah, I've never liked it because, like, it could, if you do it wrong, the wrist can really suffer from it.
Yeah, or, like, your head or all of your... It's terrifying. You're pulling a weight from the floor over your head in one movement.
When you
movement.
Get to that weight where, yeah, it's kind of not so
Who
good.
Invented this? We're dumb.
Well, it works. And what's your diet looking like right now?
I mean, I track my macros, but I guess you could say that it's that if it fits my macros...
Yeah.
That style where it's like I don't have clean everything, but I make sure that I hit the right carbs, fat, protein every day. And so sometimes those carbs happen to be beer.
Well, because, yeah, one of my big things with If It Fits Your Macros is people seem to use it as a I eat shit all the time.
Yeah,
right?
That's not like, the right way to do it.
Yeah, so how do you go about making sure that you're having that right balance?
I generally stay clean, but if it's like if something comes up, I won't like schedule a cheat day. It's just, but if like people are going out and partying, it's like I can sort of like let myself go and like live without worrying that I'm gonna fall off the wagon somehow.
Because it's just the way you're eating, so you don't schedule cheat days.
No.
Okay, I totally agree with that. Like, don't schedule a cheat day.
Yeah,
because like
then
diet.
You get into this thing where it's like, oh, you're looking forward to the cheat day, and then the cheat day might roll into another cheat day because you've been kind of like, not starving yourself, but looking forward to it so much.
Yeah, withholding from yourself.
Yeah, like if you have a cheat day, the implication is the rest of the days are like restricted days.
Right.
You know, you're on lockdown.
But you also have to realize, too, if you're like sitting at a desk 9 to 5, then having a cheat day or like is probably not the best thing, maybe a meal, depending on what your goal is. But if you're active... like a lot, or you had three or four really rough days and you want a piece of cheesecake in the middle of the day, but you know you're going to work out, then it kind of, you know, you kind of go with the flow, but don't go out of your way to...
I think we're just so kind of almost, I want to say brainwashed, but we're in this mode of thought that you either have to eat one way and that is the only way to get to where you want to go to, and if you fall off in any way, you've erased everything that you've done.
Right,
which is just such
a spirals downward.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre way of thinking. You never get to the point where you're actually having like balanced diet.
Right.
I'm not looking at things as a cheat. I'm looking at things as this is good for me today, and this is not as good, but I'm going to have it, and I'm going to have something better later on.
And sometimes you need that bad. You need that so your body like fights off the whatever your cheat was. Like it actually is beneficial for you to eat extra.
Yeah, for your body to say, okay, extra calories are coming in. We're going to burn some more now, and you're not going to like a point of stasis.
Mm-hmm.
What was my last question? Want to know, in your career so far, I guess, to what digit can to what digit can you now recite pi?
You I read you to bring my this bio.
Up. I want to need you to bring this up.
Yeah,
TK.
You open it. You have to.
Another one of the reasons I was unsure as to whether she was telling us the truth here was in her bio. She said you can recite pi to the 50th degree. And I was like, oh, that's one of the things people say. That's kind of a fun little quirky thing.
Yeah. So, no, I can. I'm pretty confident that I got this.
So we're gonna get pi up on
it's
the screen.
It's been a minute
before,
since I'm not looking.
Yeah,
I'm not looking.
You can't look that way. Can you?
Is this? Oh my god! I'm such a nerd.
There we go.
I can't believe that.
We're gonna get this a little bit bigger.
I'm never getting a date again. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Can we go any bigger with that? There we go. Perfect.
Ready?
Ready?
3.14159265358973236 323 8462633932791
Oh, there we go.
I think that's probably 50.
She got to the 79 though. She got to the 79.
And what's after
and 50. 7950.
That seriously, that was 48 digits. The 50 is the end. Ah.
Which you should have known because it's to the 50th digit.
I love when you stopped me. I was like, no, wait, you're right. It's 84.
Very nice.
Wow.
Thanks.
And you own,
I guess.
And you own some Guinness World Records.
I do. I broke the record for fastest time to dress a bride, although I don't own that now because it got smashed after me, right after me. I am in the world's longest
To dress a bride?
Yeah, it's so weird. They make up the craziest things, and I was like, all right, I can beat that one.
You see why now I didn't think these things were real, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
I did not beat the record for fastest time to stack 10 Lego blocks, though. That was hard.
It
was supposed to be in under
it.
25 seconds, something like that. I couldn't do it.
But they sent someone out to see if you could.
Wow. I went to test it, and I failed on camera 3 times in a row. You only get 3 chances. I'm in the world's longest uncut fight scene. I don't know if you know Shane Fazin. He's another fitness YouTuber. I should introduce you, but like he put together a ton of people to do this like long uncut scene, and I am the Thai kickboxer, like the third person to fight him.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy.
So you have two.
Oh, no, and the third one is I'm the fastest woman on a space hopper.
What?
You know, those like blow up things with a handle?
Yes.
And you bounce
yes.
on them? Yeah, I have the fastest 100 meters on a space hopper.
With you and like 10 other women? No. How did this get?
Well, whomever had the record before me, I broke theirs. And by like half a second.
And how did you find these records to break? Because
I mean, they actually brought it to me. Guinness does like a live stream show, and they were looking for people to try and break records. Wow. And then that's the one I went for. I trained for it too. I was very serious.
Well, the multifaceted Alex Spagnuolo. We're so happy you joined us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We gotta have you back, and we gotta get you with your guitar. We gotta get some music.
Oh yeah, I'll play some jams.
Yes,
I know.
Awesome.
Why didn't you bring it today?
I didn't even think about it. We're talking fitness. I should have brought my barbell.
Well, hey. It's part of it. I want to do a fitness power hour, so we got to make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out somehow.
Like some sort of Tabatas and drinking.
Maybe like a shot and a burpee. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I'll watch.
We'll see how it goes.
That's not going to be a good situation for me.
Well, thank you again for joining us. It's awesome to have you in.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
And I am Ali Spagnuolo. Thank you so much.
See you guys next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.